Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Filled with odd fright, see Jurassic Right. Bathe in amber light, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Park.
Welcome to a very belated See Jurassic Right. I'm your host, Stephen Ray Morris, and today is a new episode of Park Experts, a segment where I chat with my guests about Jurassic Park, dinosaurs, and everything in between, in a more casual setting than the season one and forthcoming season two episodes. So don those khaki shorts, and don't forget your Hawaiian shirt, and let's dive in. This week's guest, Jurassic Outpost and Chaos Theorem content creator, Samantha Indris, aka Samantha Joe. She shares her Jurassic Park origin story as well as sharing sci-fi with her mom. We chat about keeping dinosaur toys on our person at all times, come up with costume ideas for obscure Jurassic Park characters, and more. Hold on to your butts and enjoy the show.
Yeah, I think we met at the trivia night thing I did.
Yeah, a year ago almost now.
Wow, that's so crazy. I know, it's weird to think that Fallen Kingdom is a year old already.
I know, I saw people posting about, well, I think you were posting about it seeing over in London for the first time, and I'm like, it was a year ago.
Yeah, well, and then I think just because the movie was released over the course of over a month.
Like the month, yeah.
Yeah, just in all the different territories. It feels like more than Jurassic World. It feels like the whole month is kind of like I guess we are just embracing it as being Jurassic June in that kind of significant way. Yeah, it's funny just because for me, I feel like one of the first things that got me back into Jurassic Park fandom, besides like Jurassic collectibles, was discovering Jurassic Outpost and stuff like that. And I guess even before, I do want to hear your Jurassic origin story, but how did you get involved with Jurassic Outpost? Because really that was, I feel like right around the time Jurassic World came out, I was like hungry for, you know, like Star Wars has fandom and Marvel, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, is there a Jurassic Park community? Because I hadn't really been like in any type of fandom for Jurassic, you know, I kind of taken a break in between Jurassic Park 3 and Jurassic World. How did you get involved in all that?
So yeah, it was just finding it on Twitter, I think, was probably Jurassic Outpost, and then people actually talking about dinosaurs. Just, you know, I don't really have any friends that are heavily into Jurassic as I am, so it was kind of nice to go online and find other people that were still obsessed with dinosaurs like me.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, so I just started following people on Twitter mostly, and eventually joined a Jurassic Park fantasy football league.
Whoa.
that Josh Evans started. And that's actually how our Jurassics group came together, yeah. Is that we all did this fantasy football league. And so, you know, we're all being nerdy and naming our teams after dinosaurs and stuff. So it was pretty awesome. And I mean, that's also how I got into Jurassic Outpost, because Josh messaged me and they needed new writers. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm game. And that's pretty much it. I mean, it was just kind of spiraled, and I just slowly became more and more involved in the Jurassic community over the past couple of years, really since Jurassic World came out.
It'd almost be like weird to, I mean, probably any type of fan. I'm like trying to imagine a movie or series that really, I mean, I guess maybe if you're like a Matrix, if there's like a Matrix fandom, it's like, but even then there's talk about rebooting that. I mean,
oh yeah.
I feel like in any day and age where we're in danger slash in danger slash in, you know, having the luck of getting to keep something alive. So I feel like mm-hmm. it's almost like Jurassic World kind of like rebooted, just people being interested in kind of like looking at Jurassic Park again in a way. I don't know. I guess when you went to go see Jurassic World, were you excited about it, or was it more of like, oh, this is a thing from my childhood, maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be bad? What was like your, what were you thinking?
I was super excited. I mean, we get to go back to Jurassic Park and see dinosaurs again on the big screen and actually have like a quality movie and not like the B movies that are supposed to be dinosaurs and look nothing like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But no, I was absolutely very excited about it. And I mean, it didn't let me down, so that was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing about Jurassic World is that I feel like it was almost like for people who weren't into Jurassic Park or were, you know, kind of more critical or, you know, dismissive of Jurassic World. But I feel like for a lot of us growing up, we always wanted to see the park open.
Yep, absolutely. That made me really emotional when we first see the Gray and Zach are in their room, and Gray opens the doors and we see the park and the music swells, and I'm like, I'm not gonna cry.
You're like, this is real, this is finally
this
real
is happening.
You're like,
my dreams.
I would give anything for this to be real. I
pretty
will
much
sell my soul. Are you a big theme park person too? Because I feel like for a lot of people I feel like there's like camps of people, and there's a big camp of people who like Jurassic World because you like going to Disneyland or, you know, Universal and stuff like that. Are you a big theme park person?
Oh, absolutely. Like I'm dying to go to Disneyland and this new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
And my friend just went there and I'm super jealous.
I know. It's like, you're like, all right, I got to be supportive, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I forget. Did you go to Universal when you were in LA? Cause you went to, it was at the beginning, you came to LA for Fallen Kingdom. Did you guys yep. end up going to Universal at all
we did. That was actually our original plan when we were thinking that whole weekend up, is we'd go down and go to the theme park and, you know, ride the ride, obviously, and then go see the movie that night.
It's so cool.
And we all dressed up, so, you know, that was actually really cool, because I dressed as Ellie Sattler, and it's amazing how many random people just compliment you. And like, we got to go in the VIP line for the Jurassic ride because the worker saw us and they're like, come this way.
You guys deserve to go to the front of the line.
We're cool enough.
You know, it's funny. I almost, now that you say that, I feel like as far as costumes go, I feel like Ellie Sattler Hammond. I mean, I don't know. They're all, I guess they, I mean, to us, I guess they're iconic, but I think maybe it's like the bright colors make it so.
Yeah.
You can pick out in the crowd.
Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier this week and I'm like, none of the costumes are really like stand out a lot. There's nothing really specific about them, but, you know, now we know like they're iconic looks, but I mean, I could just naturally be wearing khaki shorts and a salmon pink shirt. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. It was funny because I dressed up for the 25th at Universal last year. Uh-huh. I dressed up like Ellie Sattler. And then I basically, all I had to do was throw a hat into the mix and some margaritas. And I basically was a Jimmy yeah. Buffett costume. It was literally almost the same exact costume.
Yep.
Which is, I wonder, now that I'm thinking, I wonder if that was them doing that as an homage to Ellie Sattler, having Jimmy Buffett dress up as...
That could have been, yeah. I mean, because that is kind of a very bright pink shirt.
Yeah. I wonder, well, I guess we see, I always thought it'd be cool for somebody to do like a costume for Halloween to dress up as Sattler and Grant's dig site look. I feel like I've never seen those people dress up like those looks in the movie.
So I actually have a plan for Jurassic Ooh. June. I'm going for Ellie's second look. So, you know, stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Awesome denim outfit.
Canadian. Well, it's not a Canadian tuxedo, I guess, but
kind of almost
sort of. Yeah. I feel like just when people see Dr. Sattler's outfit, it's just like, boom, we imagine Laura Dern standing yep. beside the big pile of shit, you know? Flying to London for Fallen Kingdom was like, I don't know, I've never done anything like that before. I've never flown across the ocean to see a movie.
Yeah.
But I've never even really, because I've like met people who've like flown, you know, to go see a concert or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. When the Jurassics, when you guys were like, okay, cool, Fallen Kingdom's coming out. Were you all planning to meet up in some place? Was that like always the plan? And LA just was like, well, Universal, like you hadn't kind of had a lot of things to do.
We all kind of started just joking at the beginning, like, oh, we should see the movie together when it comes out. We're like, okay, yeah, we'll see when it gets closer. And then it kind of spiraled into, hey, maybe we should go to the park, because I think some of us hadn't been to the park before. And it's like, yeah, that'd be fun. And we're like, it's getting closer. Should we book an Airbnb? So it was just kind of this, like, we fell into this vacation and it just turned into this fantastic weekend. And then you had your trivia night, so that added into the fun as well.
And you guys won, I think, right?
Who has 29 out of 30? They're experts. They know everything.
We did, yes.
Yes, I knew
we dominated.
Well, I think I remember, because it's kind of coming back to me, I feel like there was a question you guys called me out. There was like, I was, my question was technically incorrect, but I don't remember what it was. I mean, it was a year ago, so I don't think.
I remember we argued about the raptor deaths.
That's like what it was.
How many raptor deaths? Because I think your answer was 3, but we were saying it was 2 because we don't actually see the one in the freezer die.
That's true. No, you're right. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. It's burned into my memory, apparently.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like, I mean, the fact that we have 5 movies now and, you know, we're going to have 6. It's really cool, but it's almost like for that first growing up, it's like, I think I was talking to Clayton Fioriti and I was thinking like, is there anything left in the original movie that we haven't discussed, broken down, dissected? Mm-hmm. Like, is there any mysteries left in that original movie? But when you mentioned the fridge again, I'm like, that must have been so weird. Like whoever was going to go clean up Nublar and then they just open a fridge and there's just a frozen raptor.
Raptor popsicle just hanging out.
In your mind, is there anything left in the original movie that like I feel like we haven't discussed to death almost, you know?
I don't think so. I mean, nothing comes to mind right off, but you know, we've had 26 years now of discussing it, so you know, I mean, we always have things to talk about though, which is kind of the great thing.
Yeah,
different takes on stuff. And
yeah, no, I mean, it seems like every couple of years we're like, wait a minute, whose eggs are those? Are those Raptor Gallimimus eggs?
Yeah.
It's like a weird Schrodinger's dinosaur kind of thing.
How many Gallimimus are in the field?
Yeah. Oh, wait, has somebody counted that?
I don't know.
I can
probably.
Totally, yeah, I can totally see somebody, doing that. Wait, had you been to Universal before when you went this last time?
I had been once before. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We're about 10 days into Jurassic June. I was the previous episode is Tom Fishenden, and I think both of us were like, there's just such a wealth of, I almost thought that like in this in between year, you know, we have these two in between years. I almost thought that we wouldn't have that much to do, but it seems like it's been pretty packed. I mean, Camp Cretaceous and all that stuff. How are you feeling? And then you do your t-shirt thing, which is super awesome too.
Yeah. No, I feel like we've actually had pretty decent, news, especially for Outpost to, report on. I think having the toys still coming out helps a lot too. Because we can still like, oh, hey, look at the Brachiosaurus, you know, like yeah. That's, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. What are your favorite, of the Mattel toys?
Gosh, I pretty much love all the Rexes. The Thrash and Throw, I think, was one of the first ones I got. I love that. I love some of the figures too, like the legacy figures.
Yeah.
Love those. I wish we had some more of those, honestly, though. Like if we had Lex and Tim and Hammond, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I know. It would be so nice for them to finally make a Lex figure.
Yeah.
And just to go to Arena Richards, you know, and present it to her.
They're like, look.
After all this time.
But it'd be perfect for the Brachiosaurus when it comes out, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm surprised the Brachiosaurus didn't have like a squeeze on top, you know, for the...
I was thinking of that. So you'd be like, snot Lex.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And you can... I feel like I saw some playset where it's like the Baryonyx and it's like slime lava or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have the slime that like drips down.
Yeah, you could just repurpose that. That would be, you know...
Yeah. Come on, Mattel.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. And wait, for the t-shirt thing, if you could explain it for the listeners, what are you basically, because you basically just have enough Jurassic stuff for 30 days.
Yeah, I have probably at this point, I have more than 30 days worth of stuff.
That's so cool.
And it wasn't always like that. But, you know, with Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom coming out, we've got a lot of more stuff coming out. And especially in women's clothing, too, which I'm super happy about. Because before, there was not really much at all for women.
Yeah.
And I mean, I go and buy men's t-shirts anyway, because whatever. But it's nice to have, like, dresses and skirts and some tank tops and stuff that are actually for women. So I may have went a little crazy with the Fallen Kingdom stuff. But, yeah, so I... just try and post a different picture of one of my dinosaur items, whether it's t-shirts, I also have socks, leggings, etc.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot more. Yeah, just I don't know how you feel, but like to just go into Target and see dinosaur toys every time now, like it just feels like it just I don't have too many memories when I was a kid of like actually being in the store, I feel like somebody posted an old photo of like what an aisle looked like in a Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 90s or something. And I don't necessarily have any memories of that, but I don't know. It just seems so cool that we just get to see dinosaur, you know, Jurassic Park toys like on the shelves again, it seemed like it was when we were growing up.
Yeah. I don't remember too much seeing Jurassic toys when I was little. But, you know, I'm sure my mom, like, steered me away from the toy aisles when we were in there. but I do remember, like, wanting the dinosaurs, and we could never find one that didn't have a missing battle damage piece.
Oh, no.
So I never got one when I was little, and I'm still upset about that. But, yeah.
Yeah, what is your... Jurassic Park origin story? When did you first see it? Did you see the original in theaters? Or I feel like a lot of people have like the VHS thing too, which, you know, that was also a big component, I feel like, of my childhood.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the theater. I was 5 when it came out. And so my mom wouldn't have taken me like to the actual theater to see it. But I remember watching it at home and watching it a lot. Yeah, probably 5 or 6 whenever it first came out. And my mom likes sci-fi stuff, so, you know, she was game to watch it with me, of course. But yeah, I just remember watching it first time and being so, like, enthralled by how real it all looked. Like, I believe that there were dinosaurs. Like, that could actually happen. And, you know, seeing Ellie and Alan seeing the Brachiosaurus the first time, that was amazing.
Yeah, it really doesn't get better than that.
No. And it's still one of my favorite scenes, like, in any of the movies.
Yeah.
It's one of the best.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, yeah, because I was the same age as you. I was 6 when it came out. I think everyone our age, it's like, it is such a, like, flip of the coin whether or not we were allowed to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
And so I definitely was too young. I mean, I definitely saw it in theaters, you know, and was probably probably a lot scared. But
yeah,
It's crazy how much that scene. The scene where like Rexy's on the road and just like that single, you know, her single like roar at Grant, like mm-hmm. that scares me today. I couldn't have imagined being a 6-year-old and seeing that.
I remember, I think the one part that scared me the most was when the kids were in the car and Rexy broke through the roof.
Yeah.
I think that was the most frightening because it was like, okay, these kids are by themselves. What would you do in this situation? Like, I mean, basically scream is all you can do, you know?
No, I feel like as a kid, it was just like imagining yourself in these kind of scenarios, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I'd always do the Jell-O jiggle, you know? I mean, that's a must.
Yeah. You got to complete the whole, you got to wave around a flashlight and then, you know, and I always just thought that, like, pulling down the when Lex gets into the little thing and is like pulling it down, I was like, oh, that's such a smart move. Lex knows what's up. Like, she's like the perfect older sister.
Lex is super smart. And I think I tried to pretend to be her a lot and like pretended I was hacking running at our computer, like just randomly typing in like a Word document or something. But I'm totally hacking.
Yeah. You're getting into the system.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually, that just reminded me, like, thinking about Fallen Kingdom. One of the things I really liked about Macy was that you see her, like, play dinosaur in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, oh, my gosh, that's, like, what we used to do as a kid, you know?
Yeah. She's us.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, she's the biggest. I mean, I guess it's a competition who's the biggest dinosaur nerd. Macy, Gray, or Tim. I feel like Tim, just because Tim almost is like that kid who like read, who's like reading the adult books, you know, like at too young of an age. But I like Macy's imagination a lot. And she has a Jurassic Park diorama, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she's got all those things to play with, you know? I mean, Tim had his books, but then, you know, that would also be interesting to like, what happened to Tim? Like, is he completely scarred and never wants to talk about dinosaurs ever again? Or did that just continue his fascination with it, you know?
As far as like, you know, because kids are such the Jurassic staple, but I almost feel like when you're that young, it's almost like, you know, because all the systems aren't fully formed yet, I feel like it's like the adults are way more traumatized. You know, Grant and Malcolm are much more scarred by these experiences. I feel like the kids would bounce back a little bit more. But we haven't really seen, I mean, assuming, you know, I was like, what year is it again? It's 2019. You know, there's no official news or anything yet about Jurassic World 3. It's still far off from, you know, even filming or whatever. Like, it would be cool to have Macy come back and have her come back, because, you know, just because, again, other than seeing Lex and Tim a little bit at the beginning of Lost World, we haven't had that kind of continuity from a child's perspective.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah,
I just love Lex and Tim though. So
what are they doing? You know, it seems like Fallen Kingdom and even Jurassic World, you know, it's almost like the biggest character talked about more than any other character is Hammond, you know? And so them being them being, I was like, they're his grand, yeah, they're his grandchildren. That's the right order. He's not their grandchildren. It seems like you would wonder what they would think of the opening of the new park and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know. I had that thought when Fallen Kingdom was coming out. I'm like, you know, because we don't necessarily know who's going to be, you know, in the movies, like surprise pop-up. And I was kind of hoping that Lex and Tim and everybody would be in that courtroom scene behind Malcolm. Like, I remember examining, like, photos of it and trying to figure out if, is that the shape? Does that look enough like Lex? But I just kind of wish we'd get, like, a little snippet, you know, of what they're doing with their lives.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I feel like I was going crazy for a minute where, so when, yeah, when I saw Fallen Kingdom, I remember, I think maybe it was making the rounds on Twitter. It was almost like a blurry photo and like, like somebody was circling a group of people in the courtroom. Yep. Okay, yep. So I'm not crazy. That did exist. Nope. Okay.
Yep, that's the one that we were like all examining for that month or whatever. And like, okay, this could be Lex and Tim and da da da. And everybody was lined up. It worked.
So, yeah, I know. And, you know, honestly, I actually just forgot about this until right now. I wonder if, like, at least for me personally, I was like so hoping for that, that like when it, I remember when I saw the movie for the first time, I had that in the back of my head, and I feel like I've almost blocked it out because I was so disappointed, you know?
I know. I think I was kind of disappointed too, because I'm like, okay, courtroom scene and nobody else, like nobody else in the background, no quick pan over. They don't have to say anything, just like in the background.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, maybe they just didn't want to. You know, I wonder if they were more disappointing being like, oh, that's all we got.
Yeah. We were just hoping for too much there. It probably would have been way too much, though, to have everybody crammed in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on, because, yeah, I feel like we're all kind of, I feel like I go back and forth about my thoughts about Malcolm in Fallen Kingdom. And I feel like I'm leaning on the side of like appreciating it more now, almost like. Mm-hmm. He's the, you know, he's just supposed to be there as kind of like a bookend, and you're not really going to get into his psyche or what he's been up to kind of thing. But I think was also disappointed initially that, you know, there isn't anything else, you know, there really isn't anything else to him in the movie.
Right. No, I really had no idea what they were going to do with him, and kind of disappointed that they didn't have him really do anything else or interact with anyone. But again, it may have been too much if they did anything else, and I think it fit well for Fallen Kingdom that he was just kind of that voice of reason for the one side and just saying his piece and that's it.
Yeah, no, I mean it's like that's his kind of, you know, it almost seems like in the original movie, like in this, in Lost World and JP3, it's like everyone's kind of like, all the people who survived are kind of like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't want to go back to an island filled with dinosaurs. Oh, I'm kidnapped. Whoops. but it almost seems now in these new movies, like people are more willing to like go back, you know. I mean, just the idea, like, yeah. I love Claire so much as a character because she's like, mm-hmm. Hey, I was involved with this, and like maybe, you know, maybe I have some role to play in what mm-hmm. went down, so then that the only thing I can really do, it's like, you know, I feel like a lot of people were saying that about General Leia, where it's like, where, you know, she's the only one who fucking sticks around and actually does her job, where right. It's like Luke and Han like run away, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like that about Claire, where the same thing with Owen. It's like he kind of just runs away at the, you know, he's run away at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I think Claire's a very responsible person too. And so it kind of makes sense for her to go help out. And then also with the book too, with the evolution of Claire, that kind of adds, I feel like, added to her character with kind of the background of how she started in that.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that she would want to go stick around and help, because she had that trauma there on the island.
Yeah.
So, you know, she knows how serious this is and wants to see it through, essentially.
Yeah, did you like Evolution of Claire? I'm like, why aren't we having 10 more of these books out by now? I'm so like, it just was like the thing growing up, like reading, I would read all the like Star Wars novels stuff. Yeah. Like were you excited about that? And did you read it right away? Or were you like stoked on like more kind of the like lore and stuff outside the movies?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I read that. It was really interesting. I was interested in seeing more about the characters outside of the movie. Like you're saying, I like read the Star Wars books. I liked it. I don't think it was like my favorite book. Like it could have been different for me, but it was good for what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. It's like, I think we all talk about, I think all of us are so starved for stuff, you know? I mean, the fact that we are, I feel like no other franchise takes their Lego movies as seriously as Jurassic Park fans do.
No, like we can't afford to be picky. Like we've been so without anything for so long and now we're just like, give it, I want it.
Yeah. My girlfriend has a 2.5-year-old, and so Secret Exhibit is on. Like, I've watched Secret Exhibit like 10 times. Mm-hmm. And like The Indominus Escape, I really like. And it's like weird. I don't know if you've watched them a bunch, but like, I don't think of them as canon, but I certainly like, I enjoy their take on the characters and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, like, not necessarily being canon. Like, it's just kind of a fun little side story that at the end of the day isn't going to affect the overall, you know, timeline or anything. Yeah. So it's just fun.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So you were into Jurassic Park as a kid, watched it a bunch. Did you see mm-hmm. The Lost World in theaters or was it kind of again? Well, I mean, I guess I'm like, I feel like Lost World might even be scarier but I don't remember being as scared for Lost World when I was a kid.
Yeah, because I mean we were a little older at that point, but I don't remember if I saw it in theater or not. I cannot remember. For whatever reason, that one doesn't like stick out as much to me like when I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
I do remember I saw Jurassic Park 3 in the theater because I was really excited for that one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, us being kind of a similar age, it's like JP3 for me was like, okay, now I'm aware of like marketing mm-hmm. and lead up and, you know, I think maybe though I was probably trying to be too cool and not get the toys, but I think I also was mad that they were a different size than the previous ones.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that with like family or friends, or did you go opening night or anything like that?
No, I went with my mom. It's again, she's like a big sci-fi, like enjoys all that dinosaur stuff. And I mean, she likes Sam Neill. So, you know,
that's so cool.
I think we saw the trailer actually for it and we're like, okay, we need to go see this.
That's so cool. Yeah. My mom is also a big sci-fi person. Like Close Encounters, you know, Spielberg is mm-hmm. is her favorite movie and West Side Story. yeah, I think that's in like we saw because the same year that Jurassic Park 3 came out, AI came out in the theaters and we also saw that together. JP3 was like the first DVD. was the first DVD we had in our house.
Yeah, actually, I think Jurassic movies, the first three, were some of the first DVDs I had, because I think I got them for Christmas one year when they first came out. And I'm like, Mom, can I have these?
You're like, please supply my dinosaur fix. Did you?
Please.
Did you like dinosaurs before Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I feel like it's tied together for me because, again, being like five when it came out, it's kind of when you're starting to, you know, discover animals and read through the zoo books and all of that. Yes. And I remember we had like a big thing on it in like second grade where we just studied dinosaurs for like, I feel like it was months, but it was probably like 8 months or something. But I remember that I was so excited, and like, we'd have all the books and read through all those, and we got to color dinosaurs, and it had nothing to do with Jurassic Park. It was just dinosaurs.
That's so cool. I don't remember if we ever, if I, maybe probably was second. It's like, I feel like, wait, where'd you grow up again?
In Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, okay. Cause I, yeah, maybe West Coast elementary schools are similar, but I feel like fourth grade was like the rainforest.
We did rainforest.
And it's like third grade American history. I don't remember, but, and then like fifth, like sixth grade, I feel like you learn about like Rome and Egypt and Greece and stuff, but I don't know what they teach the kids these days. It's probably way different.
We, up here, we still learn about the, life cycle of the salmon.
Oh,
yeah.
That's very important.
We get to raise little baby salmon in the classroom and stuff. They still do it.
Wait,
so.
Really? Whoa. That's so cool.
Yeah, we get, like, eggs. I forget who they supplied them. Probably some of the forestry department would supply the classroom with eggs. And then we had a tank in the classroom, and, you know, we got to watch them hatch and go through all of their stages and stuff.
Whoa, that's so cool. I wish, I think maybe we had, like, a classroom hamster or something. But I feel like, but I feel like seeing, like, tadpoles, too. It's like seeing them. Mm-hmm. Seeing them change, I feel like is kind of, I feel like, just blew my mind as a kid, you know?
Oh, yeah. And you're like, okay, it's an egg. And then it's the little, you know, has the egg sac on it and everything. And then, oh, they're little fish.
Yeah. You're like, this is Animorphs in action.
Animorphs, yes.
Did they ever turn into dinosaurs? I wonder. I mean, I don't know how that'd be possible, but that would be like a crazy crossover, like the Animorphs go to Jurassic Park.
Oh, shit. There we go. Can we bring Animorphs back?
Yeah. Well, I think they tried to, but I don't think people were interested.
Oh.
I read a thing where they basically they brought the books again, but they changed some of the references to be modern.
Oh. Eh.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to read Goosebumps again as an adult, and it was, I was like, oh, this is just bad writing. It's not even, bad writing for kids. It's just like, literally R.L. Stine was like, look, I'm just going to write these in a day. Like each one is, he's just going to write it in a day.
Oh yeah. They're super easy reads, but you know, for kids, that's fantastic.
Did you read the books as a kid? Goosebumps, but I meant to say Jurassic Park, but
yes. I read Jurassic Park probably, I don't know, when I was 10 or 11 or something. Again, my mom and I would always go shopping together, and she'd always go look at used books. And one day I saw the Jurassic Park logo, and I'm like, I need this. And, you know, when you're little, you don't realize, like, movies are based on books the majority of the time.
Seriously, that's like mind-blowing.
And so it's like, I want this. I don't even know what it is, but I want it. And so my mom bought it for me, and you know, I think that was probably the first like adult sci-fi book that I read, you know, stepping away from Goosebumps and all that.
No, really, but, I think that was the same for me.
Yeah, it was just, and it's completely different. Like it's kind of mind-boggling how different like young adult or whatever you want to call it, like sci-fi, than to adult, and how much detail like Crichton put in everything, and the science just making sense in those books. And it was just amazing. I just remember being super into it. And then also, like, slightly disappointed because it wasn't the same as the movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's almost like you're imagining. Because, yeah, I mean, I definitely saw both movies, Lost World and Jurassic Park, I think before I read the books. I remember my dad actually crossed out the swear words in the Lost World. I still have that copy somewhere. But yeah, you want to imagine, I'm trying to imagine all the actors, but then I'm like, wait a minute, when, where's the scene where Grant injects eggs with poison and then kills raptors?
Right. Yeah, it's just completely different. But it was also kind of nice because we got different content too. You know, it was some extra dinosaur and Jurassic Park goodness.
Yeah. I mean, was that exciting to you when you saw like Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom and seeing like bits of the novels, like kind of coming back into play and kind of referencing things and like taking Malcolm's dialogue or like Wu, more of Wu's backstory? Was that kind of stuff like, holy shit, you know?
Oh, definitely. I love when they mix in those things and everything is kind of interconnected. And it's nice that they have that opportunity to, you know, put some of those lines into these newer movies.
Yeah, honestly, to me, it still staggers me that first novel, that there's so much, that first novel to me is almost like so rich that they, mm-hmm. that they're still taking stuff from that first book.
Oh, yeah.
And finding new ways to use it in the movies. I can't think of any other thing like that, really, like as far as like nerdy fandoms and sci-fi and stuff goes.
Yeah, because I think usually they just like skip past stuff and do something that's so different that they could never like work it in later.
Well, so that's what I thought of. So when we were first seeing all the glimpses of Fallen Kingdom and stuff, and they showed that bunker, I thought we were going to get like underground raptor nest or something like from the book.
Oh, yeah.
Or just, you know, or at like some point, like I feel like Grant and Lex and Tim in the book are in like an underground tunnel or something. And I thought maybe they were going to like somehow bring in underground raptors and stuff into it, you know, but it's like, yeah, I keep feeling like there's still so much from the book that you could put in these new movies. Like, mm-hmm. when are we going to get some, well, I guess we had Charlie blown up. Oh, rest in peace, Charlie, blown up with a rocket launcher. But yeah, I still feel like there's tons from the book that you could, you know, take.
Oh yeah. It's incorporated in and it's still like true to Jurassic Park in essence, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I love that. I feel like the more they can take from the better. I feel like mm-hmm. when people were being like, you know, oh, who's this Lockwood? And it's like, there's a reference to a former partner in the original book. I mean, it's one mm-hmm. line, but.
Right. But it's there. It's not like they're making up something, you know, and it said, oh, he didn't have any partners. He worked alone.
Yeah.
Like, no, he did. He had a partner. It's just, we're going to take that little tidbit and expand on it.
Yeah. Is there anything from the original books that you would still want to see in the new movie, or mm-hmm. will we get to see Wu get killed by raptors, you know, or whatever, you know, like stuff like that?
You know, most of it is wanting the more like gruesomeness that the book had.
Yeah.
Cause I think that was something that drew me to the books as well. It's like, oh, this is kind of violent. Like, they're ripping people apart, you know, and you don't necessarily see a whole lot of that in the movies.
Yeah.
Which I know they're, you know, that's not the style that they're going for. So we won't see people, you know, entrails flung around, but
yeah, it's not. Yeah. Nedry isn't like feeling his guts, you know, spill out from his belly.
Yeah. And see in the book, like that was awesome to me.
Was your mom worried about you at all being interested in this violence? No.
No, because she was as well.
Yes, that's the best. I love that. Have we had somebody's like skull crushed by a dinosaur? Mm. You know, has somebody like, because I feel like I'm just getting the image of like the Lost World. I feel like one of Dotson's homies like gets like he can feel the like hot breath on his neck, like that mm-hmm. that stuff like still sticks with me.
Yeah, we don't see too much of that. Usually they just are like stepped on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. I guess in Jurassic Park 3, what is his name? Udesky?
Udesky.
Yeah, where he's like being the, they're using him as bait.
No,
and they kind of like step on him a little bit and like dig the claw into his back.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true. Ugh. So many ways to die by dinosaur. I mean, I was very surprised the idea of, it's funnier the more I think about it, but the idea of the guy in Fallen Kingdom getting picked up by the Pteranodon and then just dropped.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks, you know?
I mean, you know, at least he didn't get eaten, I guess, like ripped apart.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Or, you know, getting thrown into the Mosasaurus mouth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also you got, was the Pteranodon also swallowed at the same time?
I think so. Wasn't it?
just two.
Just like one gulp.
Yeah, two creatures like fighting in the stomach, you know?
Oh, God.
That's always my favorite fan art. I feel like I've seen a few people draw that idea. Like, I wish I knew the artist offhand, but one of my favorite fan art is of Zara sitting in, like, it's a view from inside the Mosasaur's stomach, and it's the Pteranodon, the Indominus Rex, and her all playing cards.
So this iconic, to me, fan art of the Indominus Rex, Zara, and a Pteranodon playing cards inside the Mosasaurus's belly was drawn by Nina Levy, or Levy, on a napkin. Can you believe that? I'll put a link to her blog called Daily Napkin, where she actually draws so much beautiful art on these napkins. I'll put it in the show notes.
Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
Oh my God, I'll send it to you. But I don't know, I always think there's like, I was telling my girlfriend that like, there's this weird fascination with, like, I feel like as far as like minor characters go, I feel like there's so much fan art of like Zara and the Mosasaur, and mm-hmm. and it's I mean, you know, I just think it's funny when an audit, like when a community like loves a kind of a side character or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't see Gennaro fan art, you know.
I mean, we should have Gennaro fan art, right?
Yes, I think so. I think we should have like, where's our Eddie Carr fan art, you know?
We need some of that. We do have a deep love for Eddie Carr, though, in this fandom.
Yeah, yeah. He was a good guy.
So sad.
RIP, pour one out for Eddie Carr. Being part of the community, writing articles, being involved in kind of the day-to-day and following the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, I guess, like, finally seeing Fallen Kingdom, like, did it live up to the expectations or like, I feel like some other people are kind of like a slow burn of like, okay, now I'm like watching it again and again and then appreciating it. Like, what was mm-hmm. that like for you finally seeing it, you know, again, being so involved in stuff? Like, I feel like it's almost like people who don't, you know, aren't part of that kind of thing, you kind of mm-hmm. go into a movie more pure, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's why too, I ask people who aren't in the fandom, like, so what'd you think of it? Like, and wait for their reaction, because I really don't have kind of a good gauge necessarily because I'm so invested in it. But yeah, it was kind of overwhelming to see it because I was lucky enough to go to the premiere.
That's right.
So that was like meeting people in the fandom for the first time, and that was super awesome. And it was just fun walking around, seeing everything, and so it was a lot to take in, and then we got to see the new movie on top of that.
Wow.
And so it was definitely kind of like, I don't know how I feel after I watched it the first time. I know I wanted to watch it again, because, you know, there's just so much to that movie that you kind of do need to watch it multiple times to catch everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I mean, I certainly enjoyed it, but yeah, I'd want to see it again and again.
Yeah, I know. I feel like the first time I see a movie, I'm just trying to like know what happens. And then then I watch it again and I'm like, I can almost enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, I have to like keep up the first time around, and then I can go back and digest and go, oh, okay, these are the dinosaurs. This is what's happening. Who are these people?
Yeah, no, exactly. I realize this is a question I should be asking more people, but do you have a favorite dinosaur? Or is that a compliment? I feel like maybe I just haven't been asking that question because I'm like, wait, we're all such huge dinosaur and Jurassic fans. That's like opening up a whole, you know.
Yeah, no, My standard answer to that is don't make me choose between my children. But, no, it has varied over the years. But I always have to shout out to the Brachiosaurus because I think that was my first favorite dinosaur, because of Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah, totally. Is there any, dinosaurs? I just pulled my, pulled the new Parasaurolophus Mattel toy I have in my hand right now. Is there any?
Yes.
Is there any dinos hanging around you right now?
I don't have any dinos next to me right now. I have some Jurassic shirts.
You don't have any, I feel like these Mattel toys, because they're so well done, I'm like, they're my emotional support animals, and I have a cat. But honestly, the Mattel toys do more for me in that way.
I honestly, like, I have a dinosaur in my purse at all times.
Yes.
I have like one of the little minis in there, and like I always travel with at least a mini, or if not like a raptor or something.
Oh yeah, no, that's my favorite. I think that's why, like, I mean, now I've gotten more into the figures, especially because just because now there's more, like, I don't know, I have been a weird keeping them in the box, but then because we've had these clearance sales, I've been buying some and opening them now finally.
Oh yeah.
Which is like, oh my God, I'm sad that I didn't do this in the first place. But I think for the minifigs for me, we're like, oh, I'm going to buy all of them and I'm going to have extras and I'm going to just be throwing them around. And like when I went to Nashville, you know, recently, and because I like was running late and I missed my flight and everything, like I totally forgot to bring a minifig with me. So
oh,
I was like,
no.
First thing on my trip, I'm going to Target and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna buy a couple of, you know, cause they're, I mean, they're, you know, again, relatively cheaper than buying a full figure or something. But I was like, I have to have a minifig with me at all times.
It's important.
Yeah. And then my last dumb, silly question. Do you want Alan Grant and Ellie Sattler to get back together?
Yes, because they're my ship. I think they were like my first ship before I knew what shipping was. They're so nice together. And everybody does them as a couple. No one remembers what's his face. Like,
there's no Mark Degler costumes.
No one is going to although that would be a really funny cosplay. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. Well, it's funny. I posted an article in the See Jurassic Right Facebook group about there was like a photo from the making of the original Star Wars. And there's like a sound guy who's just,
oh yeah. Yeah. Like the pink shorts or whatever, that guy.
Yeah. And somebody cosplayed him as him recently. And I'm like, that's gotta be the most obscure reference of all time. And I was thinking like, what would be the most obscure Jurassic costumes?
Gotta go with Mark. He's up there.
Yeah. It's like him. And I went to a Cinco de Mayo themed Jurassic Park party. I don't understand how that combo happened, but somebody dressed as the goat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, those
might
like
be... a missing leg.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'm getting sad over the goat. Yeah, I'm like, I'm trying to think of what else would be. I mean, again, I think the couples, like, or not even just couple, but just either Ellie or Alan in their, like, it's almost like in Super Smash Brothers, it's like their alternative costume. I think that would be pretty obscure.
Yeah.
I think dressing up as the gyrosphere guy, like the guy, like, yeah, I just work here. I think that would be like a fun, obscure costume.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. And, what was her name in the show? But Courtney Clark?
Oh yeah, Courtney James Clark, yeah.
The Mosasaurus girl. I think she has a name.
Sarah. I think Sarah. I don't know if she has a last name though.
Yeah, because I think we asked her at one point, didn't we? Like the community was like, do you have a name?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, Courtney's great. I still chat with her on occasion because we're both big Selena. We're both Selena heads.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be cool. She also gets a lot of fan art too.
Yeah, she does.
For such a small role, I feel like people just kind of like relate to that idea. Like if I worked at Jurassic World,
like I want to be the Mosasaurus girl.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just seems like you'd have a fun job because you get to like impress people so much.
And then like the like standard theme park board employee, like here's your gyrosphere. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Oh my God. Yes. Who has the better job?
Yeah.
Yeah. Courtney, Sarah, the Moses Stern answer, has a way better job than what's his face. I wonder if he has a name in the movie.
I don't know.
He's probably like ride operator number two.
Probably.
Actor Marty Cotteropel is credited as gyrosphere operator in Jurassic World. You may remember him as Keith, the arcade guy in Stranger Things.
I was going to say, what if he dressed as the, like, if somebody dressed as the two, or no, wait. Yeah, like, if you had somebody as Zach and Gray, and then the other person is the teens that Zach is staring at, that would also be great. What do you think's going to happen when you just stare at him?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. There's so many. We could, yeah, I feel like we could come up with I'm going to start working on one for Halloween this year.
Oh, nice. So that would be awesome.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. This is really fun talking about dinosaurs.
Yeah. I'm glad we survived all of our construction woes.
I know.
All the screaming children have now been eaten, I guess, by the velociraptors outside my apartment.
Yep, raptors got them.
Actually, last night I woke up at 4 and I looked outside because I'm up against a hill, and there was two giant coyotes walking around the swimming pool in my complex.
Just coming to say hi.
Yeah. Life found a way, and they're going to find a snack.
Yeah, you know, they do what they do.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find Samantha online at SamanthaJoe28 on Twitter and SamanthaJoe8 on Instagram. And over at Jurassic Outpost at JurassicOutpost.com. Apologies again for this very delayed episode, although in the delay, I got a chance to say hi to Sam while we were both at the Hollywood Bowl to see Jurassic Park with a live score, as provided by the LA Philharmonic. You'll hear more about that on this month's minisode coming next week. Don't forget that this month's listener question is, if they were to make more Jurassic Park movies after Jurassic World 3, what would you want to see? Call to leave your response, 323-688-6969, or respond in an email at cjurassicwrite@gmail.com. As always, follow See Jurassic Right on Instagram at cjurassicwrite, on Twitter at sjrpod, join the Facebook group to continue the discussion at See Jurassic Right Podcast on Facebook, and follow me at Stephen Ray Morris. I'll see you next week, but hopefully sooner.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.